DMV Football Roundtable. Frank Hanran here. Jamal Bowens is in the house feeling good about his 1-1 Washington football team. We're recording this on Thursday night. Washington visiting Buffalo. But before we start previewing what's going to happen on Sunday against the 2-0 Bills, we got to go back because we haven't talked to the folks in a few weeks. Thoughts on the victory against the New York Giants. And this is a team now led by Taylor Heinicke. No one was really – I wasn't shocked that Fitzpatrick got hurt, right? So we got Taylor Heinicke, who I've heard everybody debate it. Is he good? Is he not? Is he a one-hit wonder? You know what? I saw a great statement, Jamal, and I want to hear what you got to say about it. If – now, I know he's a little older. He's like 28, 29. But if Taylor Heinicke was a rookie quarterback, everybody would be frothing and slurping at the mouth saying, oh, my God, we've got a gem on our hands. Why are we not willing to commit to saying, you know what, this kid's pretty good? That includes you, I guess.
Oh, wow, okay.
Look, we discussed it before, and George Wallace, Georgie said, you know, there was a reason why he was taking classes last year when he got the call. There's
right,
a reason.
Right.
He's familiar with this program, with this system, with Scott Turner. I saw something earlier where Scott said he called him last year for a coaching gig.
Oh, wow.
And he said, well, you know what? Get your degree, but hold off on that. We might need you. So some of this is also kind of prophetic. But call me jaded. I've seen too much of this. And you've seen too much of this when it comes to this franchise.
Right.
I mean, you know, RIP to Cole Brennan, but we thought he was going to be, you know, the next savior.
Mm-hmm.
But that
throw for that touchdown on a rope, I mean, right, that shows something a little out of the ordinary. That's just not just some dude off the street who's really taking advantage of a second chance, really, to think that he was a backup quarterback in the XFL, right?
I mean, second, third chance.
How about that? Yeah, not even a second chance, right?
Re-root for these kind of guys. But, yeah, he's showing flashes. I'm not going to sit there. If I said he hasn't shown flashes, I'd be a damn lie.
Right.
But for me to be, I'm not fully invested because I'm still thinking the guy going forward, like, he's 28, you said.
Right.
Now, he doesn't have a whole lot of tread on the tires. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one thing. I still think that there are more. This is a good class of quarterbacks. And we don't get you one. I'm not ready to ride with Heinicke or Bud Leidecke as it is now.
I saw that, yeah.
Because he's twisted.
He's got to make his money.
Heinicke slept on the money, so yeah. Bud Light got in there. So that's one thing. Do I think that he can win games? Yeah. You know, like I said before, we've got bridge quarterbacks and possibly two good backups, younger backups, him being included. But do I think he's the future? No.
Okay.
But, you know, in he can win you games.
Mm-hmm.
He can win you games.
And he almost gave the game away against the Giants unless they actually had some a sack and went for the kill shot instead of playing conservative. I just cannot believe, dude, that we've watched so much football in our time that these coaches – don't see what we see. So when Heinicke throws that brutal interception and the Giants have the ball with just over two and change left and they're down by, you know, one or two points, they know, okay, they were down by two. They know all they need is a first down and then they can just set up a field goal for Gano, who was awesome up to that point. But instead they play massively conservative. They don't get the first down. They settle for the field goal with plenty of time on the clock. You, me, and everybody knew you just gave, even though Heinicke's not proven, you gave Washington another chance, and everybody and their moms knew that they were going to go down the field. So I just can't believe these guys get paid millions and millions of dollars to dissect and coordinate. You got to coordinate all, you know, all the crap on the football field, and they came up with that.
Well, you know what the thing is also, let's not, you know, disguise the fact that we got a lot of gifts.
A lot of gifts.
We got a lot of gifts. The football gods gave us a lot of gifts on that evening. Slayton usually does not drop a wide
open. Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
Right. That's a gimme touchdown. Yeah. You dropped it. Even, and then you go back, that run from Daniel Jones gets called back. We got a lot of gifts. We did some things positive, but we got a lot of gifts.
I want to,
you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I want to dissect the defense. I want to get your thoughts on the defense because right now they're getting scrutinized. Only two games in, but are they as porous as we are sort of sounding off in the media about this defense? Is it that bad so far?
The aspects of it is. Going back, let's go back to week one. I had no idea what in the Scott Brooks that Darrell was doing with his
I like that.
Personnel early. Because there were a lot of curious people in the game early. I like Smith Williams. But he doesn't need to be in the game instead of Montez. On a key third down play, Casey Tuhill was in at defensive end. He has not played a snap in preseason. Didn't participate in training camp at all. So I was really trying to figure out, Cam Curl had 37 snaps. That's it.
Right.
And then the rest of your, I don't know what Bostic is doing. Bostic is all over the damn place. Mm-hmm. Jamin played a little bit better in week two. But the secondary, I don't know what's going on with Kendall Fuller. You put him in the slot, in the nickel, supposed to be more natural for him. He's getting burnt toast and coffee time all over the place. I'm not sure what's going, especially in that back end. I'm not sure. We can't cover anybody. Week one, you know, still can't cover tight ends. Jared Cook, we've seen him on how many teams now? We know he's got the skill set to do something, but he'll put up a big game. He'll disappear for the next 15 games. You made him look like Tony Gonzalez. So I'm not sure where the discipline is at. People seem like they're doing their own thing. Jonathan Allen is earning every cent of that extension. Every cent. But even Chase, people are scrutinizing Chase over, you know, now they're really starting to dissect this game. If he doesn't win with power or speed, he doesn't have a lot of counter moves.
Right.
I have confidence that he will get that, and Montez will get that. I don't know what Rivera's doing. I mean, not Rivera, excuse me, Del Rio. Rivera needs to put his foot up everybody's ass, coach included. Mm. When it comes to Del Rio or Scott Turner, your offense and defensive coordinators are shaky. Mm. When your play calling is shaky and your rhythm is shaky, so are your players.
True.
But somebody's got to rein it in. Now, the defense, they will get better, but they got to hurry up. I mean, you look at the gauntlet of quarterbacks they have to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, Herbert, very good. Daniel Jones, But see, now it starts.
Yeah.
Josh Allen has not been great because his line hasn't been great. Mm-hmm. But they put up 35 last week, and their defense is no joke.
Yeah.
Now you got to deal with Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and on. It doesn't get no easier.
No, it does not. Let me get your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills game this weekend. It's in Buffalo. Tough place to play. Washington's about a 7.5-point underdog. I like the visiting team in this spot. I really do.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying they'll win, but I like them in this spot because
you think they'll cover.
Yeah, I think they'll cover. I'm not gonna put that down as like my lock or anything. But this is one of those spots possible. Where everybody thinks, Bills at home, easy victory.
Right.
So I'll give the visiting team a chance here because of what you just said, that you know, as suspect as the defense has been, hey, they won against the Giants. They got to shore some things up. And look, Buffalo's very good. No question.
Yeah.
But your man got his money, and now he's you know, he's not setting the world on fire so far. But that's also scary when you know he's capable of doing something.
Yeah, I mean, he can start at any time.
Right, yeah.
But there are matchups that you can see for both sides. Their offensive line, the Bills' offensive line, has not been great. But also, you had a couple in the fact that Josh Allen can move. So just because you get him uncomfortable in the pocket out of his spot, you may create something else. You can't stop Daniel Jones from running. Daniel Jones is not a better runner.
No chance.
Than Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Now, what you may be able to key in on is maybe that front four becomes more disruptive, or the front seven, rather, because they have to. They have to shut down the run because Singletary, okay, if he gets a sliver of daylight, he's gone. Mm-hmm. He also factors in the pass game. Zach Moss, he got what he got in garbage time, but he is the type of runner they can deal with easy. He's a plotter. A little bit, but I wouldn't say it's disrespectful. A little bit more than a plotter. He's a physical back, but you got Ioannidis and the boys up front with Allen and Payne. They can X him out real quick. The problem is in the secondary. So that pass rush has to come to play in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Jackson has played well, but he's going to be up against Diggs.
Oof.
Then you got Beasley on Fuller. I don't care what anybody got to say about Beasley. He will dice you up inside. They have, and then you got Emmanuel Sanders, which is extra speed on the outside. And he's healthy right now. So that secondary has got to get it together. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to have to do it. Not off on the side of the ball. We got to find a way to get De'Ami Brown, McKissick. Last week, they got McKissick involved. Because he was nowhere to be found week one. I don't even know what that was about.
Yeah, nowhere to be
found.
You're
going to have McLaurin on Tre'Davious White, who was one of the better young corners in the league. Not to say don't go to him, but you're going to have to loosen things up. Other people are going to have to step up. Because you know you can't go to that, not with that matchup. Not all day long. And this defense, they got dogs all over the place.
Yeah.
And offensive line got to hold up. Cosme got to hold up in pass protection. We can't have stupid penalties. Surf. That line is going to be – that's what's going to make the offense, that line. And if Heinicke, like you said earlier, once he can improv, but you have to be smart in your improvisation.
Yeah, because like you said, man, there were a couple – well, there was the terrible interception, and then that one where he tried to like get the extra yard with the, you know, and he lost it. But there was a penalty, so I would love to hear what they say to him. Like, hey, dude, look, we love your improvisation, but you got to reel it in a little.
You got to reel it in. You got to be smart at the end of it.
Oh my, yes,
gotta,
at the
you
end.
Gotta, you got to nail the landing, hit the punchline, or whatever it is you're trying to do.
Yep.
But also for me, and I don't know if you noticed this, the coordinators are a question. I'm not sure Del Rio is, I'm not sure what he's doing. I definitely don't know what the hell Turner's doing. He needs to catch a rhythm. We always look at the players and their execution. Let's look at the consistency of Turner. He's sporadic. But Dallas on Thanksgiving, he got into a groove. That's probably the best game I've seen him call since he's been here.
Yeah.
He got into a rhythm. It's not always about the players and their execution. A lot of times it is. But when these coordinators get into a rhythm and a groove, everything seems to work as a fine old machine. And when they're not, the players, look at the first 2 weeks, especially week one.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew where the hell they're supposed to be.
It looked that way.
Week one, I thought Haslett was calling the defense and Gruden was calling the players on offense. Because everybody was all over the damn place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Nobody knew where the hell how do you give up 3rd and 16?
That was
when
terrible.
They're on their 12.
That's unfathomable.
And you lose Keenan Allen. You never lose 13. There's only three people that you really pay attention to, maybe four now, on the Chargers offense.
Yeah.
Herbert, Eckler, Allen, Mike Williams. In that particular game, then you throw in Cook. That's it. How do you lose Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I don't know. That's brutal.
I mean, it's the players, it's the coaches, but, you know, Ron's got to put some foot up some asses, yeah, and get this thing together. I do think they will in time. Maybe, yeah, this week is the week.
I think they muck it up against Buffalo, right? I don't think.
Yeah. No. This is not going to be a shootout by no means.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I think the defense will sort of wake up a little bit, make some plays. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it can't be a pretty victory. It's got to be one of those ugly, just grind it out.
They don't have a choice.
Right, it's true.
Like, if you look at who they have coming up, if you fold this game, you're almost done. This defense has to rise up and make a statement this game because it doesn't get any easier.
So let's think about what's going to happen on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Again, on paper, Washington is a 7-point underdog. Seven and a half, depending on where you shop, as they say. I do like the Washington football team to cover. I think it'll be an under game. That's all we're going to talk about gambling, because we're not going to be like, you know, other folks where all we do is talk about gambling. We're not going to do that. I just can't deal with it anymore. It's just overkill already.
Until Chi gets on the show.
It's overkill, right, until Chi comes back. I'll say 23-20, Buffalo gets a late field goal to win it.
You know what? I'm going to say it's going to be even grimier than that. Oh, I will go 17-14 Buffalo.
Okay, 17 Buffalo, 14 Buffalo. The last time...
I think the defense steps up.
Did you see the last time Washington has won at Buffalo? Did you see that?
Say that one time.
Did you see the last time Washington won at Buffalo? What year?
It's got to be... Just tell me.
You were probably like 7. So it was 1987.
Wow.
So I was 14, 13? Yeah, I was 14 years old.
Yeah,
how about that? Been a long time. Although it's not like they played each other all the time. Well,
most
when was the last time they played?
The last time we beat them was in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's 91 in Minneapolis.
And like, the last time I think they played, if I recall, was in Toronto or something. Yeah. Right? Remember that? Like 5 or 6 years ago? When the Bills were actually playing games away from Buffalo? Why would they do that? I don't remember why. Strange.
You know what? I think it's better we're playing them now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because if you go to Buffalo, okay, it's late September. You go to Buffalo late October, early to mid-November, we might be sitting in 10 inches of snow.
Yeah, it's just the worst, yeah.
So this is the best time to get in and get out. You know,
true.
You don't have to worry about all that.
It's only going
to
be 42.
And they say they've been drilling Patterson since he went to Buffalo, where the best elite spots are.
Right, that's right. <Of course. laughs> Hey, before we go, I got to give some credit. Terps are looking pretty good. They eked out that victory against Illinois. They got Kent State on Friday night. We expect the victory, although it's only like a 7-point spread. And then a huge game a week from this Friday against Iowa on a Friday night. I think Iowa's a top 10 team, so that's a real.
It is.
But I don't want to jump ahead of Kent State, but let's just.
No.
For argument's sake,
but
it'll be one of the biggest
that.
Games. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. It'll be one of the biggest games in recent memory for the Terps.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a whiteout. There was controversy because they were giving the students full day of classes, and people didn't like that.
Why is that controversial?
Well, because
tailgating and stuff.
Alums and well, people wanted to since it was a night game, and you know,
but the game's not until the night, so go to class in the day.
Look, you're dealing with older people.
Bro,
doing a tailgate.
If I'm paying my kids' tuition and they're saying, hey, no classes because of a football game, I'm like, really?
Well, no, remote classes, remote.
Right, remote classes. Remote?
Because of the parking and I don't know.
Oh, I see.
Knowing what I see on Twitter and such. But
no, they should have. That's what they're going there for.
They cancel classes.
Go to class. I'm saying go to class and then go to the football game because the game's not until like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, well, some of the you're dealing with alums that want to. I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I find
I've never understood that tradition at all because I know they've done it before, and it doesn't make any sense to me. It's just a football game.
I don't know.
Go to school.
Also, probably because it's they probably haven't had a game like this on Friday night and the lights at home against the top.
I think
five or ten teams.
I think Michigan State maybe like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while. And they got the doors blown out.
And the students left it like after the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah, there was no need to stay there.
But I'm starting to you know, see your way. I'm proud of them. And I will say this: they were killing me with those uniforms against Illinois. Just go back to the cursive ones. You don't have to force feed the flag hat helmet. Just go old school. Are you with me?
They are with Under Armour. They have 1,000 uniforms.
Oh right.
Okay. Have you not seen this team over the last 10 years?
Yeah, I remember they used to do that. No, it's good, but I would just get rid of the helmet. That thing just doesn't. I don't like it. So,
you know what?
I would fully be on board.
I'm with you. I think they should have the script. I mean, if I can go back to the script all the time, I would wear those.
Looks great.
But
that's great.
You know, they're like they did themselves like Oregon with they've got 1,000,001 options. We'll break out the old school scripts every once in a while.
Right.
It's supposed to be a whiteout, so I don't know what they're going with. They might have the all white with the gray on the Maryland part of the ham. I don't know. They have 1,001. Just don't do the yellow. That's the one I don't like.
Yeah, don't do the yellow. I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
I hate that one. Even with basketball, I hate that.
Oh,
they call it gold. It's not
mustard.
Gold, it's yellow.
Yeah, it's mustard.
Yeah, I don't like that. But I'm with you on the script. I would like to see. I don't know if they ever have they ever done a script in basketball.
Back in the days, yeah, like late '80s, they did. Yep.
Why haven't they tried that?
They may have done them on the mustard ones, but don't quote me on that. Yeah.
Well, if they, I didn't like that. If they did that, I mean, no.
I'll send you a screenshot. All right, Jamal, thank you, man. I appreciate you, and we'll see what happens on Sunday against the Bills, and we'll catch up with everyone next week. This has been the DMV Football Roundtable. For Jamal and Frank, we'll see you. Peace.